Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. It's my privilege tonight to be able to share with you our theme verse. I'm going to expand that passage just a little bit to take up chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing this passage of Scripture to a group of people that most scholars believe he never had the opportunity to be in their presence in person, and you're even going to hear that in the text. In this book of the Bible, we find a message that is unlike any other passage of Scripture that has been penned by the Apostle Paul when he's talking about the supremacy of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ. We've heard our choir tonight sing about the place of Christ and how worthy He is, and that in Christ alone we can find everything that we need. We preach that. We teach it. But tonight, do we believe it? Not just believing it from the standpoint of our theology, but do we believe it from the practice of our life in the way that we are looking at our life? In this particular passage of Scripture, as the Apostle Paul is writing to this group of people, he gives them two action points, two ways that he says people should put this into practice. And as we look at these two points tonight, I believe that God has a message for each of us as Missouri Baptists. And I think that it's a message that when we properly apply it in our lives, God will change us. He will use us. He will strengthen us. He will allow us to find something unique in Christ alone. Scripture teaches us that Christ in us is the hope of glory, that we find all of the fullness that is given to us in God, poured into our hearts through Christ Jesus. Listen to these words. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him." In this particular passage of Scripture, is the Apostle Paul starts out, he's talking about the fact that he's struggling for the people there in Colossae. He's including the extra people in that region that lived about 10 miles away in Laodicea. But he even writes this to the people that he's not had the opportunity to come in contact with in person. I don't know about you, but when I look at that last statement, I think that that includes each and every one of us in this room. You know, we've not had the opportunity to speak to Paul, but we have his writings. And he's writing to us in such a way that we might understand that which he is most passionate about. Let's think about the Apostle Paul for a second. The Apostle Paul was a man's man when it came to Judaism. He was finely trained. He was eager. He was diligent. He was zealous. As a matter of fact, he was so well respected that when he went to get permission for the letters to be able to persecute those early Christians, he received it. But something happened to the Apostle Paul. When he was there on the Damascus Road, he met Jesus. He met Jesus. And everything changed for Paul at that moment. He went from being a man of religion to meeting this one that he had misunderstood, this one that he did not have the expectation of seeing, because he did not come in the way that he believed was going to happen, because it didn't meet up with his expectations. He didn't see Jesus as the Messiah in the beginning. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. And when you look at this particular passage of Scripture, one of the things that we discover is that when he met Jesus and there was this radical transformation, he discovered that the secret of success, the secret of power, the secret of life was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes into a person's life, he can take this religious fanatic and transform him into a person of such passion that when he's even in prison, he can see the love for his Lord. And he sees it as an opportunity for ministry. Missouri Baptist, I believe tonight, if we would embrace Christ in the way that the Apostle Paul speaks of him in this particular passage of Scripture, there would be a new fullness, a new anointing, a new power in the life of every single believer. So how can you say that? It's because in this particular passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul at the very end of it tells us that he's going to make two statements. And he says these two statements in verse 2, so that they may have. So that the people that he is writing this to, so that they might have all of the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ alone. And he says all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. All of the spiritual treasures, all of the things that God has offered to his people can be appropriated through Christ. How much is that? It's everything that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. I don't know about you, but according to the Scriptures, that's everything. He uses these phrases like all of the riches and the treasures. I really don't know how to quantify that. Really, the only imagery that I have is something that we find in Scripture. When it's talking about the treasury of King Solomon. King Solomon was so wealthy that silver really did not have any place in his kingdom because they had so much gold. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly grasp that. My bank account doesn't look anything like that. Not enough zeros. But when the Apostle Paul talks about wealth, he says that there is a wealth that will never, ever run out. I don't know what situations you might be facing in your life, in your ministry, in your family. But according to this passage of Scripture and the whole counsel of God's Word, there is a supply for you in your situation that will never run out. And he tells us in this particular passage of Scripture two things. The first thing that he tells us is he says, I want their hearts to be encouraged. And then I want them to be joined together in love. I want their hearts to be encouraged. When you break this passage of Scripture down in the original language, it's kind of fascinating to think about what he's saying here. Because when he says that I want their hearts to be encouraged, he's basically saying I want their life to be so transformed that they live differently. When you follow that word for heart through the counsel of Scripture, one of the things that we discover is the heart is the place of action within a person. Courage, bravery, the will of man, all of those things come out of our heart. Jesus even said it's out of the heart that man speaks. Everything that we say, everything that we think, literally everything that we do is started or its beginning point is found in the heart of man. And he says, I want their hearts to be encouraged. The word encouraged there, when you take it back to the Greek context, is really that word that is used of a military officer when he stands before the troops and he's trying to encourage them before they go out into battle. The word in the Greek is parakleo. The interesting thing about that word is that there in the verb form, it's talking about the work of the parakletos. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, that's the word that Jesus used when he said, it's better for you if I go away because I'm going to send you another counselor, a comforter, a parakletos. Think about that for a moment. Would you think about the way that the early church, those early disciples, was empowered when the Holy Spirit fell upon them and filled them? When he came upon their life, everything changed. And in this particular passage of Scripture, the imagery here is that this encouragement is going to so transform a person's life that it's like a soldier going into battle. I want you to think David when he faced Goliath. Sometimes in your life and mine, we have some Goliaths in our life. Sometimes they're seen, sometimes they're unseen. Sometimes they're in our family, sometimes they're in our ministry, sometimes they're in our community. God's desire, because of Christ Jesus, is that we would face everything in our life with that type of courage because it comes out of our heart. He says their hearts might be encouraged. I believe that there are some here this evening that need to have their heart encouraged. I believe you don't get up in the morning seeing yourself as a soldier of the Lord. One who is serving under the captain of salvation. One who has a conqueror that's already gone before him. Sometimes we see the enemy rather than seeing the Savior. And because of that, our hearts don't have the courage to take on the day and the ministry and the moment. But the Apostle Paul says to those people that he had never met, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you because I want you to have it all. I want your hearts to be encouraged. I want your lives to be changed. He wants us to live our life in such a way that the world around us will see God through the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. But my friends, there's something that happens when we get to that point. That point has to come first. Our hearts have to be encouraged before we're ready to take on the gates of hell. Even with the grace of God. He says in this particular passage of Scripture, that theme statement, he says, I want their hearts to be encouraged, but I want them to be joined together in love. I want them to be joined together in love. The word joined together is a word there where it's talking about the activity of God. It's not something that you and I are even capable of doing. It's written to us in a passive form. That passive form means that it's action that happens to somebody. It's not something that we can cause. As a matter of fact, it is something that God will do in us. God himself acting upon the life of a believer who has received him, who is yielding their life to him. And what God begins to do is he takes us, and as that word says, he joins us under the head who is Christ. This word in this passage of Scripture, the times that it keeps coming up into the text of Scripture are those moments in time when it talks about Christ being the head of the members of the body, joining the body together the way that he desires. The word there literally means that it causes these people to stride together, to walk together, to serve together. The unique thing about this particular passage of Scripture is that when God begins to join his people together, there is a miracle of multiplication that takes place. Scattered throughout this room are many of our disaster relief volunteers. And I don't know if you've ever seen these volunteers at work, if you've ever joined in one of the call-outs. But when these people come together in order to serve God, God shows up. And one of the interesting things about it is that when they begin to do their work as a body, they accomplish so much more than what any one person or what even one small group could do. I want you to consider that for a moment. In this building tonight are representatives of the body of Christ. We are not the complete body of Christ. As a matter of fact, the body of Christ is larger than we are as Missouri Baptists, even as Southern Baptists. When I read my Bible, what it tells me is that everybody who is a child of God, everyone who is filled by God's Holy Spirit, is a part of the body of Christ. And what he says in this particular passage of Scripture, he says, I want their hearts to be encouraged, and I want them to be joined together in love. When God joins us together in love, he uses the word agape in this particular passage of Scripture. And one of the things that we've got to remember about agape is that when God talks about it, he's not talking about it primarily from the verb form or the action form. Love is not primarily a behavior in the New Testament. It's primarily a person. Most of the time when the word shows up in the Scriptures, it doesn't show up as a verb, it shows up as a noun. That means that it has to be someone that we possess before it is something that we can do. In 1 John chapter 4, the Scriptures say to us that God is love. When we join together with God and the love of God begins to flow through us, when we become a conduit for that, that's when the world begins to change. That is when a heart like that of the Apostle Paul is transformed. But it's when they come into contact with it through the body of Christ. A few years back, I had the opportunity to lead a mission trip to Wyoming. And in our association, we take an annual summer mission trip, and we went to a church that we were going to be doing some ministry projects and some construction projects for. We did not realize that we were going to help and do work in a dysfunctional church. They were dysfunctional to the point where we had a couple of different people in this very small church that were on a building committee that we were working with, and they had not spoken to each other in over a year. Two members, same church, had not spoken to each other in over a year. We didn't know what was going on. We just showed up to work. And God worked through the people of our association that had traveled from Missouri to Wyoming and started a mini revival in that church because they saw that God's people could work together and God could do some amazing things. I believe that's what the world needs to see in Missouri Baptist. I believe that's what Missouri needs to see in Missouri Baptist. And you might say, well, aren't we already doing that? Maybe. Let's think about that for a second. My first full-time pastorate, North Fallon Baptist Church in Fallon, Nevada. It was one of those missions congregations, and the first Sunday that Diana and I were there, there were eight of us. We were meeting in a Pepsi warehouse building. It was a great time. It was a great ministry. God taught us so many different things about what he could do. And God blessed, and the church grew. But there was an interesting thing that happened there. We were in a community of 5,000 people. There were two Southern Baptist churches. our church start and one other. You would think that there would be this great cooperation taking place. But you know, there was probably more competition than there was cooperation. As a matter of fact, there were some people in the other church that wanted our church to die. I would like to say that I was somewhat exempt from that. But you know, our mission church did not have a baptistry. And the other church was gracious enough to allow us to use the baptistry. But in my heart, there were times when I was somewhat excited about the fact that we were baptizing more people in their baptistry than they were. I'm glad you're laughing, but I'm serious. That's not working together. I grew up in a church where we had a church league softball team. We liked to beat the Catholics and the Presbyterians and the Methodists. But we liked to beat the other Southern Baptist churches even more. The umpires, they would rather umpire a game between some teams that represented bars than they would the church league, because we were playing for blood, and it wasn't the blood of Jesus we were worried about. You know, when we think of cooperation, a lot of times we think of being a part of the body of Christ in our Sunday school class or in our church. But we really don't think about helping somebody else that we don't benefit from. What the Apostle Paul is talking about is getting to the point in our life where, because of the love of Jesus join us together within the body of Christ, there are no boundaries. Not between a Jew and a Greek, a barbarian or a Scythian that he talks about later on. No boundaries. The Apostle Paul would help anyone at any time. And when you look through the writings of the Apostle Paul, there the multitude of names that are listed there of the people that he worked with, the people that he went to jail with, the people that he served with in cooperation. What are we doing to help people that we don't benefit from? According to this particular passage of Scripture and the others that we see in the book of Colossians, we should be working together with any person where we see evidence of the Holy Spirit anointing them. When you look at the book of Acts, the Jewish people there in the early church, they heard about what God was doing in the Gentiles, and they sent people to investigate. But guess what they were looking for? They were looking for God's hand of approval, not anybody else's. And when they saw God's hand of approval, those were the people that they set out to work with. Now, I'm not saying that we should embrace anything and everything. I'm not talking about an ecumenicalism. What I am talking about is that we should have an attitude about us that says that we are going to submit ourselves to the lordship of Almighty God, and that we have no boundaries, that our heart's desire is to work together to help his people, recognizing that if God wants to join us with somebody else, then if that's what it takes in order for the kingdom of God to be built up, we're going to have a heart for the kingdom and not a heart for our church. We need to have a heart for our church, but it shouldn't stop there. Our hearts should be moved. It should be encouraged to the extent that we can allow God to join us together in love in whatever way, shape, or form that He wants to. Now, I want you to go back to that whole concept of multiplication for a second. Because when God adds somebody to the body, He does it for a reason. He's connecting all of these people together because there's something that He desires to do within us, within His kingdom, using His people to bring glory and honor and praise to Himself. I want you to imagine what it would be like if you and I get out of bed in the morning and we unzip our hands and we unzip our feet and we kind of send them out to do their own bidding. Wouldn't accomplish much, would it? We're supposed to be the body of Christ. Each and every one of us, whether we're talking about in our Sunday school class or in our church or in churches working together or even our state convention working together. The churches in our association working together for the common good. Sacrificing and giving of ourselves, giving of our time, our effort, our energy, our money, giving whatever we have for the benefit of the kingdom. And when we lay that type of a sacrifice on the line, whenever we're willing to give of ourselves before the Lord, what we're doing is we're pulling together all of the members of the body of Christ, just simply asking God for His will to be done, for His glory to be brought to the forefront so that He can be exalted. Doing it through His people. You see, when you and I do not get involved in every way that God leads us to get involved, it's like expecting the body of Christ to function by unzipping the hands and the feet and just sending them out. Have you ever considered yourself as a person being spread too thin? You open up your calendar and you look at all of the things that are there and you think, how in the world am I going to get it all done? My friends, I believe that the church of God, whom we call Missouri Baptist, is spread too thin. Because as members of the body of Christ, we're not always working together the way that we should. Being joined together by the head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for those opportunities that we can work with somebody else to see what God can do. Whether it be a Sunday school class, doing everything that they can do in the life of a church, or if it's that church doing everything that it can do together as a body in the life of the community, or maybe even a couple of different Missouri Baptist Convention churches that are in the same community working together for the glory of God. We have 2,000 Missouri Baptist Convention churches. It should not be a problem for us to make an impression on the 5 million people of our state. But we cannot do it by ourselves. We're going to spread ourselves too thin. But we have a God, when I read the scriptures, that when He draws people together and He fills them, He begins to do that which is supernatural. Energy is not God's problem. He's got it all. The resources, that's not God's problem. He's got it all. We make a lot of excuses for God's activity when the real reason is that we're not giving Him enough to work with. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about us. And I'm not saying that we're not doing a lot, but if we're doing it all by ourselves, we're spreading God too thin. He didn't design us to be individuals. He designed us to be a part of the body. He expects us to be the part that He called us to be, to do the work that He chooses for us to do, to sacrifice as He wants us to sacrifice, to give as He asks us to give, to go where He wants us to go, to be connected to the people that He wants us to be connected to, and to leave the results to Him. As Southern Baptists, we have the absolute best vehicle of cooperation. We have the cooperative program where churches can work together and they can support people all around the world supporting the work of God. When we lived in Nevada, we were cooperative program supported missionaries, and I had the opportunity to pastor an 8-member church and be a full-time pastor because of the cooperative program. And I know what it's like to wake up on your birthday knowing that people all across this nation are praying for you. We are connected through the local church, through the association, through our state convention, through our national convention. We have an amazing vehicle for cooperation and joining together. But we need to realize that it's about a whole lot more than meetings. If we would spend as much time as Missouri Baptists trying to find ways to work together as we do in meetings, we would blow God's mind, just clear out of the water. Amen. So let's kind of get down to the nitty-gritty for a second. We are the leaders in the Missouri Baptist Convention. That's why we're here. That's why you have sacrificed your time and your money to be here these 3 days. Who are you working with? Who are you joined together with? Can you make a list of names? Who are you joined together with that's not in your church? If God has placed another believer in your circle of influence, that you look at them and you know that the hand of God is upon them, have you come alongside them? Who do you have that you know is involved in the work that you're doing? Maybe as a prayer partner. Who are you working with? I hope you have a long list. Because if you don't, you're spreading God too thin. It's not by His design, but it's by our choice. Because we've lost the significance of joining ourselves together under the head who is Christ. Allowing Him to put the body of Christ together in the way that He sees fit. I want to ask you this evening one question. What do you believe God could do through a group of people like us? What do you believe that God could do through a group of people like us? He only wants you to do your part. He's not asking you to do anything more than what He is capable of doing in you and through you. But it means that we've got to be willing to surrender everything in our life to Him and allow Him to lead us, even if it's in a way that's a little bit different than what we expect Him to do. Because the Apostle Paul tells us in this particular passage of Scripture, as he struggles for us, that he doesn't want us to miss anything. Because there is such a supremacy in Christ alone that He is our all in all. He is everything that we need. He is all sufficient. And my friends, that needs to show up in more than just our preaching. It needs to show up in our life, and it needs to show up in the way that we face even the gates of hell. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And when I lead us in this word of prayer, Mark Myers is going to come, and he's going to sing us a song for us that is designed simply for us to be able to spend some time with God. And I want to ask you to do a couple of things. The first thing that I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to ask God to evaluate your level of cooperation working together within the body of Christ. And if it would be that you believe that God wants to do more in your life and through your life and through the body, would you pray and ask God to show you that? Would you ask Him just to simply speak to your heart? And then I want to say to you, if you believe that you need to spend time in prayer, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. There's a little bit of space right here. You can even step out and come to the front if you want to, just to kneel and pray. But if there is somebody that feels led to do that, I want to ask those of you that see them to do something special. I would like to ask at least one person to come and stand beside them, to be together with them and pray for them so that they're not praying alone. The days of working alone of Missouri Baptist, they need to end. And they need to end now. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before your throne of grace, Lord, recognizing that it's very easy for us to see the ministry as something that we have to do by ourselves. Lord, sometimes we make it something that we're doing alone. But Father, your word has taught us that we're not alone, that you've placed us within the realm of the body of Christ, and there are many members, one body, and you just want us to do the part that you've called us to do, chosen us to do. And Lord, I pray right now that you would look into our heart and our life. And if we've been trying to do the ministry, lead the life that you've called us to live by not depending upon your people, I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of that and you would give us a new vision, a vision to be joined together in the body of Christ, allowing you to pour your love into us and through us to change the world in which we live so that we would see Christ Jesus glorified. Father, I pray that you would help us surrender our all to you for what you can do. And I ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. This is your time.